Alrighty. Let's see.
As long as it's making sense.
Yeah, it's all making sense. You can always tell when the things get making sense a lot because we get into talking about it, you know. Sometimes the questions aren't very good. From last time, I had a question about Jessie. Am I right in assuming that she was butch in her relationship with Eleanor? And then, what the thing that interested me, now Jessie was your friend from Canada, right? Or did she, then she came here because she knew you, correct? Or.
Yes, because she was from Hamilton, but she was originally planning to go to California, and she ended up, she had lived in Rochester, and so she ended up staying in Buffalo.
And then she came and moved right out here, right, in Fort Erie. Okay, now what I wanted to ask you is that you described a lot of good times with Jesse where you would dress up and kind of do singing, sometimes in the bathtub, having a good time. Was that unusual for a,
That one?
yeah, for a person who, for you being a femme in the relationship you were with in Skip, with Skip, and Jesse being butch, was that unusual for a feminine butch to be that close doing those things?
Yeah, but we were they called us a pair of earrings.
What does that mean?
Two of a kind.
Two of a kind, yeah?
We were
Now,
very comfortable. Liz, when I came up here to live, I started sunbathing semi-nude, and anyone else that wanted to. Although it was, I shouldn't say that, anyone else that wanted to, because we were modest with other people. But if Jessie and I were together, we just did whatever we wanted to. She and I were not uncomfortable with each other's bodies.
And did that raise any eyebrows in the community, or people just knew that
It
you,
was us.
it was you? Huh? So in some ways, then Jessie was breaking out of her role as a butch in some ways by doing that. Is that correct? Did she get some flack for it from other people? Or?
No.
No, huh? That's interesting because I was trying to imagine her dressed up singing, you know, and Eleanor enjoying it and.
One of the funny things that happened was after one of these, we'd gone up to Brule's for a week, and coming back in the car, there was six of us all together, and Jess's two cats, and I had to hold the blinking Siamese cats, and a friend of ours had invited us to stop in on our way back and have a drink, etc., etc. So we stopped at Brule's apartment, and we went in, and I was wearing white pants. My sweater was covered. My T-shirt was covered in cat hair, and I was wearing love beads. And I said, "I look better without a shirt than with." So to make Grace laugh, Burl gave me a shirt which I wore in the car. And then we got to their house, and I'm running in the kitchen, and she was having a house party, and there I was with nothing but a pair of pants and love beads. So I didn't get dressed. If you're going to do it, follow through. So I did.
And whose house was this at?
Grace
Grace's.
has. She had fellows there. She had gay men there and gay women.
Okay. I guess so that there's really nothing else to ask about Jessie, except that it's clearly that she was not a typical butch in any way. What did Skip think of her?
She thought she was a character.
She thought she was a character.
She was fond of her. She was fond of her.
So it didn't bother Skip that people broke out of their roles in any way.
Not at all. Not at all.
Alrighty. Well, this picture, this next question, you might have, actually, this doesn't also have to be on the tape. Well, sometimes they would like to see him. Well, also, this doesn't have to. Okay, now let's see. Oh, yeah. This is a tougher question. Make you, it's asking you to do some work for us. You know, the thing that struck me in hearing the tapes and doing the interview is the complexity of your relationship with Skip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's got so many levels to it. The wonderful positive sides to it, the tremendous love, the also some of the more difficult sides to it. And I wonder if you wanted to characterize the relationship, not in two words, mm-hmm. but, you know, as many sentences as you needed, as you look back on it, how mm-hmm. would you characterize it as a mm-hmm. relationship? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I should. I think I can definitely write for you, because one of the very positive things that I feel very strongly about is the fact that for me, being in a relationship with someone and working with them and living with them and being with them 24 hours a day, I would not recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the strong. I think that's probably the strongest thing I got out of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
mm-hmm.
the strongest, can't be. But I have very, very, a lot of feeling about that.
It's now, why do you think that is?
It's very difficult to be in a, to spend 24 hours a day with someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's vitally important that all women drive.
Mm-hmm.
That all people drive.
If you're with somebody all the time and if you're not able to drive, does that make you too dependent on them? Is that what the issue is?
It not only makes you a cripple, it makes them a cripple.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't do anything on their own. They have to do it with you. Because they can't, if they love you, they don't want to leave you. Stuck out there at home by yourself or stuck in the apartment. Yeah, it makes both people a cripple.
Mm-hmm. At the same time that, let's say, you learned that from that relationship, but at the same time, I know from hearing you talk that it was, despite the difficulties, it was a very wonderful relationship. Is that correct, or do you not think that as you look back on it now?
No, it wasn't. It was very... That's another thing. No, it was not a wonderful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 20-year difference in our ages was a giant step Skip was trying to help me develop maturationally and intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people need the space too,
mm-hmm.
to be away, just as with doing this kind of thing. You need the space to be away and think about it. If you're living together, also, too, I don't think it's a good idea for people with two different earning capabilities I think if the thing is Skip and I it's if I say we lived out of the same pocketbook, it sounds as if I was kept.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that, but I didn't have a ton of money. I never had financial security.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had everything, I wasn't secure myself.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And that was very unfair to Skip too.
Yeah.
And
I
then
know
too,
all the
if I wanted
saying.
To buy something, Liz, if I wanted to buy something that was very expensive, and she didn't think, she used to try and influence me a lot. But then we all try and influence one another, and taste and things like that. But I had to, you know, I wanted a particular rug for the bedroom and bathroom. Rug and drapers. Boy, she opposed me on that.
Hmm.
I didn't pay for the thing.
Well, what do you think kept you all together so long?
Skip and I? I think it was the job.
Hmm.
And it was also that I was immature. I was immature.
Well, what kept her there? Because I agree with the friend you have who said, you know, that Skip must have liked it or she would have left.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think kept her there?
I think Liz, I think the thing is that when you love somebody,
mm-hmm.
I had no, when you love someone, you know, when you love someone, you make a, say when you get married, you know, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, and so on and so forth, you don't even have to say those words, because if you have a commitment with someone, it's there, and you can't walk away. Mm-hmm. Even through the pain, even through the agony, even through the, you can't.
But let's look at it this way, that most lesbians get into relationships where they love one another, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most lesbian relationships do not last that
seven
long.
So years, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We felt that if we hadn't had the fire, mm-hmm. after the first 5 years, that we wouldn't have made it. But then we had the fire, and that brought us together.
Hmm.
I think if we hadn't had the fire, we would have, because I had taken an apartment in town so I could become an American citizen. And I didn't want to come to Canada and live. One, I didn't drive.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I was from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to live here, but when it came down to building a home, I said to Skip, that's where you always wanted to live, so you might as well just buy it there, or build it there. It wasn't in my best interest for her to build here. But it was her money.
Mm-hmm.
So, damn it, you put it wherever you want, baby. It's yours.
Mm-hmm. So, this leads to a question we've discussed before, but it's still something that interests me, us, and we'll have to write something about this in our book about love,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you two were bound together by what you would call love, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you had a very deep love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that that's a usual thing, that in somebody's lifetime everybody meets a few people who they love like that, or? Well, that might be a wrong question.
Well, the thing that I feel is, Liz, this is the way I feel now. Someone, it's like, there's a circle,
mm-hmm.
and in that circle, in that full circle, there are your emotions, your desires, your love. There's all the things you need and all the things you want. Skip and I didn't have a complete relationship. We had it. But we were both growing, and we grew away, as well as growing away from one another, we also grew towards one another, I think. Because going outside of the home, for me, say for relationships, for her dog shows and things, it's family. I haven't even discussed what we started out talking about, but it's family. Your lover is your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't. That is.
So that what you're saying is, even though you started doing things separately, it was like family together.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was really not. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think about ending it because you were doing things separately. It kind of made you closer.
Mm-hmm. And even the. Pardon me, the anger and so on and so forth. That's all part of living. It's all part of being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's only children that... I shouldn't say that. But at least we have to try and end relationships amicably.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to end. But before we get into them, too, I think that circle should be full.
Mm-hmm.
For intellectually... physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. That circle should be full. And if it isn't, then you work on it. You work on the weaknesses of the relationship. She said. Windsor does not. But it's how I think.
How you think about it. Mm-hmm. Do you ever try to compare your relationship with Skip, which is really the major relationship that you've had, the major long-term relationship, right? Have you ever tried to compare it with other people's long-term relations in the gay community?
No.
And you've never thought about it? In relation to other people, have you thought that most of the long-term relations that you know were similar to yours or different, or you've never thought about that?
Well, Liz, I don't know anybody that with 20 years difference in their ages, for an opener.
Uh-huh.
I don't know anybody like that.
I see. So you'd say
I've never had anyone to talk to about that sort of thing. It's not something I weep about, because I can see where it hurt me and where it hurt Skip. And all I can say is now, 5 years later, think about it. Because I have to think, I'm of an age now where I could start into the change of life. And apparently it's very upsetting for women to go through that, emotionally and all those levels. It's certainly something that I would take care of. I'd see a gynecologist, I'd get on medication. I would refuse to make it a problem.
So you'd say that the difference in age made it so that your relationship was unlike other relationships in some ways. You'd say that if people are more like the same age, that they have a different kind of relationship right away.
They're coming from different... Yeah. See, Skip was coming from being 20 years my senior, and I was coming from being 20 years her junior. Mm-hmm. That's where I was coming from. We were both coming from different angles. Mm-hmm. So we didn't see the same things.
Did Skip have a kind of maternal role towards you?
Yeah, she didn't know it though. I mean, she didn't. She would have been furious if she'd ever known that I. When she died, I used to sometimes like start crying, just kind of sobbing. I'm saying, "Mama, Mama, Mama." I was calling for her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Okay, no thanks. I already had three. I'll get voiceless. Let's see. I think that's about all the things that I had. And can you think of anything that would have been good to talk about in thinking back on your life that I didn't cover?
Yeah, I think the thing that important about my life was I was so suicidal. I was suicidal from the time I was 16.
Uh-huh.
And it was only this year that I was able to get over that.
What helped you to get over it?
Well, what helped me to get over it was coming to the realization that I was given a life. And I can't, it's like if someone gives you a gift and you have it, you accept it, you can't return it. If you've accepted it, you can't return it. And that's the way it is. I don't have any choice about returning it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all.
Did you ever see a counselor about being suicidal?
Mm-hmm.
And did the counselor you saw know you were gay?
Mm-hmm.
And how did they deal with that?
They didn't do anything.
So they didn't look down on the fact that you were gay or anything? Or?
No.
Not at all, no.
Was this? I think I was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable with them. But they weren't uncomfortable with me.
You were uncomfortable in the sense that you were hiding it or worried that they would think that was bad or...
No, I was too concerned just as a person. I was too concerned with self, my sexuality. Didn't mean anything. But I didn't want to think badly of him, which is ridiculous. So I never told him what I was like until I started talking with a woman.
A woman counselor?
Not a woman counselor, just a woman. And I started talking, telling her stuff, 20-year-old stuff, and longer.
So in fact, you went to counselors and you didn't talk to them about it?
Right. I mean, I couldn't tell them how I feel. Now I can tell people how I feel. That's another thing I didn't know about therapy, and I only found out after, say, 20 years wasting time, is that you can shop around. That's common.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad to hear it's common, but I've never heard anyone say it until this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the psychiatrist, see somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Just see somebody and do it and do it and do it until you do. They don't put that in the newspaper. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
So
let me get this straight. When you went to a psychiatrist, did you tell them that you were gay or you didn't?
No, I told them.
But you never discussed your feelings, is what you were saying. You just kind of just say, that's that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I would just describe incidents.
Uh-huh.
But they never said, but how did you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And I never told them.
Mm-hmm. And nobody ever tried to change you from being gay? Or
no.
Identify that as the source of the problem?
No. One man wanted to have a relationship with me, and I saw him socially for a number of months, which caused a great deal of heartache to Skip.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the things I'm not, well, it's one of the things that happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did Skip respond to your suicidal tendencies?
She didn't really do too much. What could she do?
Mm-hmm.
We never discussed it.
We never discussed it.
See, I couldn't tell. When I first met her,
mm-hmm.
I could tell her anything. And maybe that's like most relationships. I don't know. Because I haven't had really more than one. Well, I did have one. But the second person that I started telling them how I felt, they used it as a weapon against me. So, but anyway, with Skip, latterly, I didn't really tell her how I felt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nor did she tell me, really. But we had other things going. We did communicate on some emotional level because we stayed together.
Wait, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, I wanted to get married. Not married in the sense of married, but I did. I felt as if I was married. So
mm-hmm.
I asked her for if she would get me a wedding ring.
Uh-huh.
And she did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You still have it?
Yeah, this one. This is beautiful. It's got the sun and the moon. And a teepee. And an evergreen. And a hatchet. And a cave if I need it. And a staff.
Oh, isn't it beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Those are all your brother heritage. Those are all Indian types of
Oh boy. Did she inscribe it?
Mm-hmm. What? I asked her to put both of our initials in it, so it says R and W in there.
Uh-huh. When did she give you this?
It must have been in the first 5 years.
In the first 5 years,
mm-hmm.
huh? This somebody must have made it, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, she had it made.
In Buffalo?
Yeah. I don't know where. No idea.
Guys.
She always bought very nice things. She's very She gave a lot of thought to things before
mm-hmm.
she did them. And yet she didn't even have to think very much. She could just, something would come into her mind and she would write it and it would be poetry.
Hmm. Hmm.
She could write goodbye or hello and it would be poetry.
What are some other kinds of things that you would give one another as tokens of affection?
Oh, well, every Christmas I gave her something for each of her senses.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
Well, I give her a bottle of, say, Crown Royal.
Uh-huh.
For her taste. And then I might give her some kind of something to smell, you know. Never bought her perfume. Don't know what I'd have bought her to smell. And then taste, touch, feel. Books. I gave her one book, and inside of it, I inscribed to the dearest friend of all, Windsor 19, whatever it was. And some person borrowed that book and never returned it. And I know who it was. And the person is no longer in this part of the world. And I thought, damn it. Because that was for her. Mm-hmm. But I had read the book anyway.
Bringing up Christmas reminds me, I didn't ask you how you all celebrated holidays.
Skip would stay home. Latterly, she would stay home on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve and Day. And I would drive up and see the family.
And at the beginning, did she come to your family too?
Mm-hmm. But she didn't like all of the extravagant things.
Uh-huh.
Particularly with the children.
Uh-huh.
Towards the children. It bothered her. Because she didn't think the kids were being taught a proper sense of balance.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever. It disturbed her, so she just withdrew.
What other holidays did you celebrate? So you two together didn't usually celebrate Christmas. You would go up to your family and together. What other kinds of holidays?
She was a great one for Easter or Halloween. She would get those cutouts or things. She'd make Easter eggs. She'd stand here. She'd color Easter eggs. She her child really operated around the holidays. Easter eggs and decorations and Christmas time. She was always buying. There was thousands of Christmas lights and stuff. She was always buying stuff like that. I think because she didn't have it when she was a kid.
And let's say on Easter, what would you do? Would you all kind of get up and have Easter breakfast or?
No, I don't really remember that there was anything particular like that, but we had an Easter egg hunt here one time.
Uh-huh.
And it was all gay people. And all the prizes were, like one friend was a very poor housekeeper. So one of the prizes was so-and-so to clean your house for a week.
Uh-huh.
And then there was two Siamese cats. These were Jesse's cats. Two Siamese cats. Compliments of Jesse. Compliments of Eleanor.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then there was a slew of dogs from Windsor. And then one of the women had won, had taken a tour, a world tour. She'd done some tour or something. And she was very tight with her money. So one of the things was going to be a trip around the world for two compliments of whatever her name was. She's not dead. Things like that. It was fun.
Was it just one time that you had this Easter event?
Yeah.
Did you ever get an Easter egg hunt at somebody else's?
No.
And let's see, for Halloween, would people mainly get together and go out or have a house party? House party. Would people dress up?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And we'd do floor shows. That's when Jesse and I first started doing floor shows. We did the Carol and Juliet Carnegie Hall with the gowns. I ran into the record the other day. That's when Jesse and I first started in our professional career.
As doing floor shows, so. And after the first 5 years, did you still celebrate Halloween?
Not celebrate. Well, the thing is, that was our anniversary.
Oh, that's right.
So we always exchanged a gift.
Uh-huh. Were there any particular kinds of gifts that you always gave one another at your anniversary?
No. No. We were both into giving books. And I would buy her good rye.
Mm-hmm.
Even when she was very sick latterly, I always bought good rye. You know, if you're going to kill yourself, at least do it with
something good?
Well, yeah, I mean, not so much that, but I just think if this aged properly, it wouldn't cause as much damage or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, well, can you think of anything else that we should have talked about?
No.
Will you look back on your life?
No, just I say the car business is important. Not working together in the same environment is very important. I think age mm-hmm. difference is important. It doesn't make, you know, of course it doesn't make any difference really whether you're 40 or 60, or that difference. But there's a big difference between 20 and 40. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you think of a future world, what is the best possible role you have for lesbians in the future, if you could design your own world?
The best future for them?
Yeah.